This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Gary Bettman. Gary, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. Isn't that great?
You could
just listen to him for hours. He's the best.
He is the best. Now, it all starts for you tomorrow. You had, obviously, some games just to get loose and stuff like that, but it starts to count tomorrow. What are your emotions going into this? Are you nervous? Are you excited? Can you tell us what you're feeling?
It's all of the above. I mean, obviously, everybody, not just in the hockey world, but everybody has been through and is going through a difficult time, and this does represent a bit of a return to normalcy, although obviously the conditions under which our players are playing isn't exactly normal. But what we know we're going to have is an extraordinarily competitive and exciting tournament. As you heard back say, unprecedented 24 teams when you include the play-in round. Our players and the mandate from me and everybody from the outset has been health and safety is paramount. And while nothing's risk-free, so far so good. Knock on wood, not to jinx it. The last week of training camp, this week in the bubble, thousands of tests, all the players and other personnel being tested, and no positives. And the bubble, the players are telling us, feels very, very secure. You know, our competitive balance is extraordinary, probably the best in all the major sports. So we're going to see a remarkable, exciting tournament, and it's going to be great for people to tune into.
You were able to put this together, Gary, with cooperation with the Players Association, which has just been extraordinary because we've seen what happens with a lack of cooperation with baseball. How were you able to get on board with the Players Association, not only to get this done, but also get a new CBA out of it?
Well, it's a really good question, and I've got to give full kudos to Don Fehr. He and I, from the moment COVID-19 emerged on everybody's radar, we have been in constant communication and collaboration. And maybe it's the fact that we've both been doing what we do longer than anybody else, both him on the labor side, whether it's for the hockey players or the baseball players, and me at the NHL and even before that. And I guess with the understanding and the places we've been in our careers, we understood the need to come together, to collaborate, and to cooperate. And the input from the players was vital, particularly on the protocols and the return to play every step of the way. And we both understood what we needed to do together if we were not only going to just be able to return to play, but emerge from the pandemic as strong as possible. And having an extension to the collective bargaining agreement, I can't overstate the importance of having been able to do that, but this was a collaborative effort.
You know, I look at what's happening with baseball, and perhaps, Gary, this is unfair, but it looks like they're making it up as they go along. And no one has an answer of what would be too much before you'd have to pull the plug for a while. Do you guys have a number of what would be too much, or is it like, when I see it, I'll know?
Well, first of all, that type of decision, you get guided by the medical people, both our internal medical people and our consultants, and the governmental health authorities that you're subject to. And in our case, it's obviously Health Canada and the provincial health departments that we worked with and who blessed our protocols. You know, we know nothing is risk-free. And, you know, to say people are making it up as they go along may be a little unfair, because while we may look pretty buttoned down, the fact is we're all dealing with something that's unprecedented. Now, you know, my tongue is in my cheek. I've had a fair amount of experience operating when we haven't been operating, and that may have helped me navigate some of the issues here. But what we decided from day one is we had to focus on every conceivable scenario and alternative, and we had to have the flexibility to embrace whatever alternative made the most sense at the time. So, for example, there was a lot of speculation as to where our two hubs or bubbles were going to be. And, you know, people were saying it was going to be in Las Vegas, it was going to be here. at the end of the day, and we were getting a little criticized for not anchoring it down. And I kept saying, I am not going to make the decision on where we're going until we absolutely have to at the last minute, because I want to know the status of COVID-19 wherever it is we might be going. And that's obviously one of the reasons why we went to Edmonton and Toronto, because there's spiking going on in a lot of the other places.
Did you learn anything from the exhibition games, Gary? Anything that you felt that you needed to find out so that you can maybe change it in time for tomorrow?
Oh, what I learned from the exhibition game, first of all, watching the first game Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I mean, it was the first time in 140-some-odd days that it felt good. Wow, they're playing hockey. I also learned that our players are sensational. I mean, we've had hitting, we've had fights, we've had great plays, and it was great to see that everybody was anxious to get back. We were still playing in the exhibition games with the ambiance in the arena for the broadcast, so when you tune in to the five games tomorrow on the networks of NBC Sports, you're going to see a lot of fun stuff. We have more cameras than we typically have in a game because we're not worrying about blocking spectators. There'll be more sounds of the game. Things are going pretty much what we expected. What's important is the bubble is working, and the players and our other personnel are very comfortable in the bubble. Actually, I saw one player quoted as saying, being in the bubble was the safest he's felt since the middle of March. So, you know, things are playing out pretty much what we expected and how we planned. Although, you know, obviously you can't plan for everything, although we're trying to.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you see maybe with, you know, the season ending after everybody obviously is safe and you finish the Stanley Cup, that this could shape shift future seasons in the NHL where it might end at this time and start later?
You know, again, that's one of those decisions that we're going to have to make at the appropriate time. Obviously, if we're finishing in early October, we're not starting the 2021 season in October like we typically do. My guess is we're going to start later, late November, December. We're going to monitor it as it goes along and prepare for every contingency and stay flexible enough to execute any of our options. That's the mantra I used internally with my team at the league office. And that's how we got to where we are. And the same thing will apply for next season. We're going to have to see what the world looks like and what handle everybody has on this pandemic.
But also, could you see or envision that it's just better overall, even when things get back to normal, of starting in late December and finishing in the summer?
You know what? The time will tell. We'll observe. We'll process. I'm not ruling that out. The answer is, we don't know enough yet to know, but I am comfortable that the scenario and the timetable that we used on our return to play was exactly what we needed. We didn't set an artificial date. In fact, with the return to play committee that we had with the players on it, we said to them, listen, obviously health and safety is the most important thing, particularly as it relates to COVID-19. But I also said, you have to tell me how much time you need for training camp, because I know a lot of you guys haven't gone this long without skating since you were 3 years old, and I don't want anybody getting hurt. And so we were guided on that timetable by the needs of the players as they expressed it to us. In fact, at one point we had a discussion, because we respect the fact and admire the fact and are grateful for the fact that the players, you know, some of them are going to be away from home and family and friends for a couple of months. We said, do you want to play after the play-in round, the first two rounds of the playoffs, best of five? And the players came back and said, absolutely not. Best of seven. We want the Stanley Cup playoffs to be played the way it should be. We want the road to the ultimate champion hoisting the cup to be the same type of road under obviously these incredibly different circumstances to be the way it typically is. When we crown a champion, we want it to be competitive and with integrity, and that's why you see what we have.
Talking with the NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. His sport will start tomorrow. Much fanfare. The NBA started yesterday. Baseball's been going for about 2 weeks now, and football's crossing its fingers that it will start at the appointed time in September. Gary, could you even imagine playing a sport without a bubble right now? You see what happened with the Miami Marlins and football. People are opting out. Was that ever a consideration of not bubbling to complete the season?
Well, I'm not going to comment on what the other sports are or aren't doing. We, from the outset, were focused on centralized locations and a bubble. In fact, if you go back and you look at my earliest interviews on the subject, I was focused on maybe we should go to the University of North Dakota or Notre Dame or the University of Vermont and really separate ourselves. But ultimately, for us, based on the number of teams, the number of games we're playing in a given day, we needed to have the capacity and facilities that are available only in our buildings. So we shortly after I had said that, became focused on the fact that we had to be in an NHL market and in an NHL building. But for us from the outset, it was always we had to centralize because there are too many variables that we felt we'd have to deal with if we did anything else.
The other thing that arose during these four-plus months, Gary, has been, you know, social injustice. We've seen the players lock arms during the anthem, during the exhibition games. What else does the NHL have planned at that
point? Well, we want to address and combat racism in our sport and everywhere. And we are going to make the right statements. You'll see that tomorrow in some of the games. And we're going to amp up and do more than we've been doing. While I think we've made great strides over the last few years, it's clear to me, based on everything that's going on, we need to do better, and we will.
Now, nothing good is going to come out of COVID-19. It's been destructive all around the globe, but when we move that aside, and it's hard to move aside, Gary, do you think this could be something good for the NHL, where so many more eyeballs are going to be on your sport when you start tomorrow?
I answer with the premise you started. There's nothing good that can come out of this. The illness, the death, the economic devastation that people are experiencing. You know, for us to be able to give a sense of normalcy and bring the game back and give people an opportunity to come together, which they do around all sports, particularly our sport, that's why we're doing this. Our players wanted to get back and play. Our fans were telling us it was important that we try and come back. We're going to try and make the best of what I think everybody will agree is a bad situation.
Seattle enters the league the year after next, Gary. Has the pandemic affected them at all? I know they named the team. The building's still in the works, but everything's still a go there?
Everything's on track. David Bonderman is the principal owner, and Todd Lewicki, who's the CEO, are doing everything right and first class. They could probably have a building four times as large as the one they're building, and it would still be sold out. Seattle's a great sports town, and the community is both people, sports fans, and the business community are stepping up in a huge way to support this team. Everything's on track for the 21-22 season, and it's going to be a phenomenal experience for the Pacific Northwest.
I got to tell you what, I don't know if the NHL is intimately involved or if it's just a team thing, but boy, the logos and stuff like that, they nailed it. Those are beautiful, Gary.
You know, it's interesting because this era of social media where nobody gets everything right.
Right.
And everything's subject to criticism. It was overwhelmingly positive. We worked with them. Adidas worked with them. But they were very responsive to the fans in particular. They got a lot of input. And you know, they were getting criticized for how long this was taking. And I kept telling them, you got plenty of time. Don't rush it. Get it right. And they absolutely nailed it. It's going to be phenomenal.
Well, we're all crossing our fingers and hoping for the best. Want your sport to just knock it out of the park. It's going to be awesome. We have two games on our air tomorrow. So good luck, Gary. If, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like you guys have done it right.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be with you and your listeners, and everybody should be safe and stay healthy and watch our games.
All right. You be safe as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Gary Bettman.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.